Welcome to the Guiding Parent Podcast, where you'll find the mindset and tools to parent with greater confidence, clarity, and purpose, even when there aren't any easy answers. Together, we're going to explore how to better nurture and guide our children to support who they are and who they're becoming, so that they can fulfill their unique potential and thrive in our ever-changing world. I'm Tammy Ulrich, your host, parenting and early childhood educator, mom, and most fun, Gammy.
And I'm Shannon, your co-host. I'm Tammy's daughter and mom to a very energetic little dude called H. We're glad you're here. Let's get started.
Hello. Welcome back to the Guiding Mindset Podcast.
So our last episode, we went over who we are. And this episode, we're going to dive into just what is the guiding mindset so that you have the framework. So mom, what's the guiding mindset?
The guiding mindset is how we think about parenting. There are 7 interconnected principles that provide the framework and the tools so that we can better understand our kids and how to best nurture and guide them. There's a lot of parent advice out there, and most of it tends to be something like, if your child does A, then you do B, then it will all happily result in C. Well, that might work some of the time, but it doesn't work for every situation or child. Kids are unique little individuals, and so are parents, so situations vary. And what's right for one child or one family may not be right for another. There just isn't a quick fix or a one-size-fits-all answer. So with the guiding mindset and the 7 principles, whatever the situation, whatever the age or stage, we're going to be able to respond intentionally in that moment, but also in a manner that supports our kids' development and the unfolding of the potential and their becoming just who they're meant to be.
That's awesome, Mom. So what's our first principle?
It starts with you.
You mean it starts with me?
Well, we all want to go and default right to figuring out our kids, but we really have to consider ourselves first, do a little inner work, looking within. So to do that, we need to consider, what do we want to bring to parenting and any given situation? The kids are learning from and responding to the world around them, and that includes us. We are like the biggest influence. So we need to take the time to know what we bring as parents from our own upbringing and what kind of parent do we want to be. You know, ask questions like, how was I parented? What do I want to keep? What do I want to do differently? But however we were parented, the world's changed and it keeps changing. So we need to be able to parent in a way that supports our kids to be able to succeed in the world that they're going to find themselves as adults. We also need to consider, what are my buttons? You know, we've all got those things that irk us that our kids do that cause us to react less than in a, you know, positive way. So by just being aware of that, we can then respond more calmly rather than let it really get us. And then in any given moment, particularly when those buttons get pushed, what's going on for me that might be preventing my reacting calmly? Like, you know, was I busy and I forgot to eat lunch again, so I'm reacting because I'm a bit hangry?
So how more specifically does this help with our interactions with our kids?
Well, it allows you to parent with intention so that you move from parenting unconsciously and reactively to having an awareness and understanding yourself, knowing who you want to be as a parent, and then what matters most to you for your child, so that then you can make conscious and intentional choices and decisions and how you are with them. So there's a question that we can ask for each of these principles. So for this first one, our question is, what part of this situation belongs to me?
That's great. What's our next one?
Appreciate the miracle. You know, it really is quite miraculous. Children come into the world with everything within them to become who they're meant to be. They have this inner drive or essence that guides their growth and their development. And it's up to the nurture then from the environment for that to evolve and to become. You know, this is their potential that we talk about. So an example of this, we see this in a lot of ways in development, but brain development is a great example. Kids come in with all the neurons that they need ready to go. But it's the interactions and the experiences that create the synapses that literally build their brains. So another example is learning to walk and talk. In just a short time, they do that without any real instruction. We just are there supporting and guiding them. Kids are wired with this innate drive for the experiences that they need for their development. So we need to appreciate how miraculous that is and work with that inner essence.
So how do we actually do that?
by really knowing and appreciating who this unique little person in front of you is. You know, what is their temperament? What are their interests? What are they driven toward at any given time? What are their own little quirks or particular little needs? So by connecting and observing, we can just get to know who is this little person. And then, as Montessori would say, follow the child.
It sounds like it can lead to less struggle. A shift from trying to mold a child into a specific version of what we think they should be into, you know, seeing them with, you know, maybe awe or curiosity and discovering and supporting who, you know, they really are and their inner essence and potential.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. You know, so for this particular principle, appreciate the miracle, we're asking, how am I staying true to who my child is?
That's great. What's our next one?
Nurture connection. This really is the foundation for everything else. You know, it's through relationship that we support our kids. It's through relationship that we guide and teach. And it's through relationship that we have influence. Their development, their learning, their behavior, their mental health, and their future relationships are all shaped by our connection. How we communicate also has such an impact on this, and it can make or break our connection. It's all about how we listen and respond and work through feelings together so that everyone feels heard and understood, accepted, and respected. There's a saying, connection before correction. We all have difficult moments, but we definitely need to be sure we connect first.
So if I am super connected, does that mean I automatically have a child that's going to do what I tell them?
Yeah, if only. But with connection, we are more likely to invite cooperation. So we get a lot closer to getting there and having them work with us and things go smoothly than if we end up in a power struggle.
But it also sounds like, you know, in creating this connected culture that it extends beyond just, you know, a parent-child relationship, but really can foster a whole family culture.
Definitely. You know, we want to be teaching our children that everyone in the family needs to be loved and cared for, that we're all in it together. When our family relationships are strong, the whole family functions better. And we just set up this idea that we all take care of each other. So the question that we ask for this principle is, how can I strengthen our connection?
I love that. What's next?
Guide the whole child. Development is holistic. You know, we often have this tendency to pay particular attention to, you know, our kids' physical development. You know, we make sure they're fed and watered. And, you know, we're paying attention to their cognitive development, that they're learning. But really, the body, the brain, and the heart, they're all interconnected. And they're all very important to the whole. The physical, the social, the emotional, the cognitive, language, spiritual, all of these come into play and are interconnected and work together. And we need all of them to really understand how our children best learn and develop. By understanding our kids' development, then it also helps us to better understand them. Why do they do the things they do? And why don't they always do what we think they should be able to do? For instance, temper tantrums. For a 2-year-old, it's to be expected developmentally. As much as we might like to be able to teach or train it out of them, it's a developmental part of being too. And so having that understanding helps us to ease our frustration, have a little bit more empathy and compassion for this little person that is, you know, just can't hold all these big emotions. We can adjust our expectations and then we can respond with guidance and support that they need in that moment.
Is there a way that we know what's developmentally appropriate?
Well, it takes us back to the principle to appreciate the miracle, knowing your child. As well as nurturing connection. When we connect and we observe, they really do show us who they are and what they need. And there's lots of resources that can help us be more aware of those developmental milestones and such. You can check out our website for resources. And there's also going to soon be a book you can purchase, The Guiding Parent. Also, this is exactly the kind of thing we'll be talking about throughout our different episodes on our podcast.
The newsletter is also on our website, and you can subscribe.
Absolutely. So there's lots of ways that you can find out more about how to utilize these principles. So our question for guiding the whole child is, what's happening developmentally? What needs or learning is needed?
All right, next.
The next principle is feed the spirit. This is all about connecting with our child's and our own wonder, curiosity, and that something that's beyond ourselves, to nurture that natural sense of awe and discovery, you know, our search for meaning and purpose. All of our human inventions and progress really comes from here, our imagination and our creativity. It's also about supporting our kids in developing a strong sense of self and connection to their own inner guidance, to be able to know who they are and feel good about who they are, that they have a nice, strong self-worth. This is part of their developing values and character, and being able to hear that inner voice that helps them to know what feels right and true for them. It includes things like kindness and empathy, having gratitude, as well as experiencing beauty and joy and music, you know, appreciation for the arts, all those little things that make life meaningful and much more worthwhile.
It sounds almost spiritual.
It really is. We often tend to overlook that spiritual aspect that's such a big part of who we are as humans. You know, it's those mountaintop experiences. It's watching a sunset, stopping to watch a ladybug crawl up a leaf. Those moments of just awe and wonder. It's enjoying and appreciating all that's around us, as well as having an awareness of that inner part of us and having our inner knowing and guidance.
Makes me think of our experiences in my family of raising monarch caterpillars into butterflies.
That's always so cool to see that whole progression from caterpillar to butterfly. I always love doing that with kids. So the question for Feed the Spirit is, does this nourish and protect my child's spirit?
What comes next?
Preparing with purpose. This principle really helps us to be proactive rather than reactive. By planning ahead, and that includes us, we can prevent so many struggles and save a lot of time and really save our sanity. Rather than reacting, we can anticipate and prepare so that then we can respond a lot more calmly and intentionally. So there's really two parts to this. So we're preparing our child's little world, their environment, our home environments. So we create, you know, opportunities for learning and development, things that support their budding independence and autonomy. But it also means creating those routines and those schedules that help everyday life run more smoothly and make sure that we're meeting needs along the way. And the second part of that is that we're preparing our kids for those everyday life and changes that happen. So helping them know what to expect when things are going to be different, to move through transitions more smoothly, to deal with changes in routines, new experiences, major life events, whatever happens to come our way. So preparing for things from a quick trip to the grocery store with less incidents along the way, to maybe an unexpected late bedtime, to grandparents visiting, or maybe even a major move across the country.
It's definitely easier to prepare than to try and pick up the pieces. I know my family definitely has a lot of experience with this.
Yes, especially the visiting grandparents and moves across the country. So the question for preparing with purpose is, quite simply, what preparation is needed?
So this leads us to our final principle, which is
behavior is communication. This is the principle we all want to start with, but really we need to understand the other principles in order to best decipher the language of behavior and understand what it's communicating. So instead of seeing our child and their behavior as the problem, we look beneath it to understand what's driving it. We can connect, get curious, and then use the principles to understand what's needed and how we should best respond. Difficult behavior really is just mistaken behavior, and it's communicating an unmet need. When we come at it with this mindset, it allows us to respond with connection and guidance rather than control and punishment. I love the saying, my child isn't giving me a hard time, they're having a hard time. And so it's up to us to figure out what's going on for them. So our question for behavior is communication is, what is this behavior telling me?
I know for me, these principles have really given me so much confidence in knowing what to do and handling any kind of a scenario that comes about. I know that I'm parenting my child in a way that helps them become the fullest version of themselves. And, you know, our world is changing so rapidly. And I feel like as a guiding parent, I can set up a life that helps my kid thrive in that ever-changing world.
Absolutely. And along with that, what's really important to me is that when we change how we nurture and guide our children, we change what becomes possible for them, for ourselves, and ultimately for our world.
So So now everyone has had a quick overview of the principles, and we're excited to dive deeper into just a whole variety of parenting situations where we can apply these. We've given you kind of the tip of the iceberg of the principles, and so for a deeper dive, you can visit our website and review them in more detail for today and, you know, as a touchstone to go back to as you're listening to future episodes. Please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our future episodes. You'll find all of our links in the show notes.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Guiding Parent Podcast. Remember, behavior is communication. Connection leads to cooperation. And with understanding and intention, we can parent with greater ease, peace, and joy.
Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And we're here for you. Let us know in the comments what other topics you'd like to hear about.
Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter. And visit the Guiding Mindset website for articles and resources to support you on your parenting journey.
Until next time, this is Tammy and Shannon, with you on the journey.